What made a black Muslim racist instantly love white people? On this edition of It's Supernatural.
Centuries have come and gone, offering wisdom and understanding throughout the ages. Today, there should be nothing beyond one's power to discover. And yet, the strange, unusual, and mysterious world of the supernatural defies understanding. Stay tuned for a unique and powerful investigation into a curious, undiscovered universe only on It's Supernatural.
Hello, I'm Sid Roth, the investigative reporter, and with me is Aaron Evans. And Aaron, there was a time in your life where you had a hatred towards people like me, white people.
Absolutely.
How come?
Well, as coming up as a child, being brought up in New York City, in the ghetto in Brooklyn, New York, I was introduced to what we call the Nation of Islam, or the teachings of Islam, black teaching of Islam. And we was taught then that the majority of our problems was because of white people like you.
And did you really gravitate towards this? Was this something you really enjoyed, this teaching, being part of the Nation of Islam?
Oh yes, because it brought dignity and respect. It taught us as people that we just wasn't what they said, a bunch of names or a bunch of useless people, that we were really out of an ancestry of very important people, of honorable people, but that they seemed to turn the channels on us and that it was the responsibility of white people to always keep us down.
What was your life like as a young person?
It was the typical ghetto kind of life, the hustling, the playing basketball, the not really having a vision or a purpose. You're just aimlessly going through a survival mode as a young teenager. And so there was no vision there or no purpose in my life at a very early age.
And if someone had said to you at that point, why do you hate the white people, your answer would have been?
I'd have just showed them the results of what we was going through, the neighborhood, the environment, the prison system, the different social economic gap that was between us. It would have been almost like self-evident. I don't even need to explain it. Look at this. Look at how we're treated. Look at the two justices in this country versus whites have one kind of justice and blacks have another kind of justice. So it's been very easy to answer that, even though maybe that had been not true, but it had been very easy to point some indicators.
But yet you got turned off a little bit about the Nation of Islam. What bothered you?
I don't know. That was an inner thing. It was some things were not connecting. As you begin to talk, as in like God not having a son. I didn't come up in a Christian home, but these things just started bothering me, just pondering.
Did you ever read the Bible, go to church?
Oh, I read the Bible, but it was always in comparison with the Quran. I didn't go to church. I didn't go
so you,
from the church.
So the first time you read the Bible is when you were part of the Nation of Israel.
I was part of the Nation of Islam, yes. I was reading the Bible, yes. Yeah. And we really would go to see, okay, was that said? Because if you read, you hear in the Quran, it talks about surah and ayats, which are chapters and verses. Verses in the Bible, you have chapter and verses. Mm-hmm. And you would just go and say, they say this in the Bible. So you would start reading it. And then I was just a reader anyway. I was always inquisitive. So I would just start reading the Bible on my own just to find out what was the story that
was
told.
Did you actually challenge them on what you were reading and thinking?
The Muslims?
Yes.
After that, yeah, I started challenging them. I had some concerns. One day we had a meeting and I wanted to know just one question. Why couldn't God have a son?
What did they answer you with, remember?
It was really never an answer. It seemed like we started getting into an argumentative mode because we were saying the Quran says he begat not, nor is he begotten. And the Bible says, well, I said, and this is what I said to them, Sid, was let's forget that the Bible or Quran, both of them don't exist. Now explain to me why God, the one that we all say is the most powerful God that can do anything, why can't he have a son? That's all I want to know. And that question could never be answered.
And then there was one day where something very supernatural happened to you in your apartment. Tell me about that.
Well, I went to bed as anything else. And early in the morning, I saw the ceiling of the roof open up.
I have to stop you.
Okay.
Were you drinking? Were you on drugs at the time?
No, I was not. I was.
As a black Muslim, I imagine that would have been difficult. You can't do the two.
You can't do those things. Yeah. I, at one time, of course, used drugs and stuff. And so that's even the thinking of that was, is this a hallucination? Are you imagining stuff? And I even thought, what did we eat or drink or sleep before you go to sleep? So no, this encounter, this visitation was not induced by anything that I'd done at all. And so being woke up, the ceiling opened up, and I'm intently looking, and I see this ball of fire coming, and it's coming at me, Sid, and I'm going, what? And you, inside, you can imagine what you're thinking. And the closer it gets, then it changes into a figure of a man. And in the figure of a man, as it becomes closer, I hear my inside, my spirit man says, not my intellect, I didn't understand, it says, Lord, please don't come any further. And I'm thinking, whoa, what is this? And so that's the beginning of the first supernatural.
Yeah, but logically, you couldn't have come up with that just out of you. Lord, don't come any further. Why do you think you said that? What were you afraid of?
I don't know. The spirit man must have knew, okay, what this visitation is and what it's about. I had no idea. And then dialogue began to take place between this visitation and me.
What happened? What'd they say?
Well, the first thing was that the Lord had let me know this visitation, that I had a call on my life, and that it...
Wait a second now. You were not raised in a Christian home. The only Bible you knew is when you were comparing Bible with Quran.
That's right.
Why you?
That's right. That's exactly the question. Why me? I didn't understand any of this. And instantly, during the time that he made the call, and I'm thinking the same thing, he showed me three instances in my life where death tried to take me. And I knew no one, at least two of them, no one knew about. And it was showing at an early age that whoever was trying to stop me from fulfilling my call, it was intervened by this visitation here, because it was just like a TV dress rehearsal. He was showing me my life, instances in my life.
You're saying that the Lord protected you when your life was almost being
this
snuffed out?
This is that twice he showed it to me, and he was showing me what I was thinking at the time that I got out of it. And so it was blowing me away. This is mind-boggling, because these are experiences like 4 or 5 years ago, before at this visitation.
And then he showed you who you were to meet in the future. We're going to be right back. And this is, you think it's amazing now, it gets even more supernatural. Don't go away.
We'll return with Sid Roth and It's Supernatural right after this.
Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. I'm here with Aaron Evans, a former black Muslim that hated people like me, the white people. And so he started studying the Quran. And then the Quran supplied a Bible, first time you'd ever read a Bible. And you saw things that bothered you, and you reached a point where you thought there's something wrong, and you kind of walked away, and then you were in your room, just what is life all about type of thing. And a fireball comes in, the ceiling opens up, and the Lord is there. The Lord shows you three times where you were going to be snuffed out, killed, and he protected you. I'm wondering how many of our viewers have been protected and didn't even know. You didn't know it.
That's right, yeah. And in that experience, it tells you, shows you that I had no idea. And he was showing me even what I was thinking when I got away. You know, one of the thoughts he was showing me was how slick I was to get out of that, how I just maneuvered my way out of that situation. And you go, oh my God, that no, this was the divine help. This was divine intervention. So there's many instances in our life where the supernatural has kicked in.
God really does have control over our life, that we go our whole life and don't even realize without his help, we'd be snuffed out.
That's absolutely correct, yeah.
So he gave you direction on what to do. Tell me about it.
Yes, he showed me a man, and his name was G.J. Hoskins. And he told me
to go to this man.
No, I did not. I did not know him at all.
You actually saw his face?
I saw his face, and I remember seeing him before. And then I found out that his name was George Hoskins. He was a bishop out of Raleigh, North Carolina. And he said, go to this man. He will help you to find the way. Because in the dialogue of the visitation with the Lord, one of the things I said was, Lord, I don't know the way, because now I'm confused. Now I'm confused. I heard that the Bible and Christianity was a white man's religion. And now God is saying that this is not the truth, and that he's not a black man or a white man, that he's the right man to become right, get right with. So with that, he led me to Bishop Hoskins. I watched this guy for 2 weeks.
Wait a second. When he led you there, did you just go to his church? Did you knock on his door and say, God sent me?
No, I did not. What happened was he would, every other day, he would come out of where we play basketball at. Mm-hmm. He would be just walking around, not with a Bible or anything. And I would watch him for days. Just, I knew during basketball, that's the guy. And so what happened is we ended up at a water fountain. I had just lost the basketball game. People ran in there to get water. They left out. And how it is that intervention, him and I end up at the water fountain alone. And I tell him to go ahead. He says, go ahead. I say, go ahead. He says, go ahead. So I said, I'm going to go. So when I'm drinking the water, the visitation comes back very clear, because now this is 2.5 weeks later, said. Mm-hmm. And I look around and said, well, none of my friends around. If this isn't real, it'll be his word against my word. It'd be an old man against his word against my word. And if he go tell my friends, I'll beat him up anyway. This is what I'm thinking. This is the kind of guy I am.
I understand.
And so I go to him, and he drinks the water. I looked at him. I said, excuse me, sir, a few weeks ago. And he cut me off. He says, a few weeks ago, the Lord told you to come and see me. And I said, how did you know that? He said, the same God that spoke to you speaks to me. I said, he does. And then that's how that dialogue became. And it just blew me away. Imagine saying, God that spoke to me speaks to you. And he told me that you were coming. So he knew all this time he was waiting on me to approach him.
So what? Still, you had not made this presence, the Lord, or Jesus, you really didn't have a relationship with him outside of the fact he came to you. How did you develop your relationship with him?
Every day for about 3 weeks, Bishop Hoskins and I would walk around. Not one time, he had a little Bible, he carried his little pocket Bible, green Bible, and several times he pulled it out, but the majority of times he would just speak to me and walk. And every question I had about the church and Islam and why the church and why not this, and he would just answer it. And two things that happened, I was talking to him, and he asked me a question. He says, Aaron, he says, I'm gonna tell you something that happened at the age of 14 years old in your life. And I looked at him.
How did he know?
That's what I'm saying. He did not know, because we didn't meet until several mm-hmm. weeks later. And so he said, the Lord showed me something that happened in your life. There's going to be another validation as that the Lord knows you personally. And he told me a secret that no one knew. I didn't share it with my mother. I didn't share it with no one. And I just looked at him, and my mouth opened up. And then I knew then that this God is God. This is the God of the Bible, that he really knew all things about me.
And what did this lead you to do?
Then we were at the around the basketball game, and he was sitting beside me, and we were watching the guys play, and I was trying to get next. And he started to ask me to explain the basketball game, and I thought, all black men know the basketball. He did not, seriously. See how prejudiced I was even thinking. And he said, no. So I explained to him about two guards and a forward and a center. And you know his response to me was, he said, that's just the way angels and demons do in the realm of the spirit. And I looked at him and just, of course, I don't know what he's saying. But after that, about five minutes later, he asked me that I wanted to see Jesus as Lord and Savior. And I just looked at him and said, I think I do. And I received Jesus as Lord and Savior on a bench watching a basketball game.
Did you instantly have a love for the white man when that happened?
It erased this prejudice, this anger, this hatred that was there. It was as if the encounter with the Lord changes your whole heart perspective. So it just...
Did you love the white man when that happened?
As in love, when you say love, it changed from a hatred, at least to a consideration on maybe I've had a perspective or looked out a grid that was incorrect.
Yeah, but that's fine. That's much better than where you were.
That's right.
But what caused you to honestly say you love the white man as much as the black man?
Okay, this is what
happened. Can you say that?
I can say that. Oh, absolutely. I can say that. And I think one experience changed that. I was doing my first sermonette about 6 months after this encounter with the Lord, and it was out of Luke 4. And I had wanted a watch, a certain kind of watch. And of course, I didn't have the money. Mm-hmm. I come from out of where my mother was the only parent in the house. And so I had prayed to the Lord in secret that I wanted a watch. Well, prior to me giving my sermonette, said, who comes up in this little circle? It's like in a community center, I'm giving my trial sermon. Bishop Hoskins stopped and said, before you speak, son, we have a present for you for your birthday. So a couple of people got up and said some good things, and I just smiled. And then this one white guy, his name was Michael, he got up. And he walked up to me and handed me this box, or was reaching a box out toward me. And I had so much dislike for white people that I couldn't reach out and take the box right away. And so I was waiting and I was looking, and then he started telling me, he said, you know, I was praying and I felt like the Lord told me to get you a watch. And I looked at him.
And the Lord would tell a white man
to get me this watch, yeah. And he opens the watch up and I see the watch. No one knew I prayed for this watch. And I just, tears started coming out my eyes. Now you gotta remember, I'm not a crier. You know, I'm not a baby, you know, I'm not,
I
was not
crying as a teenager?
Not as a teenager, of course as a child, but not as a teenager, no.
Why didn't you cry?
I don't know. I mean, you know, your environment, you learn to
macho.
Become hard. Yeah,
macho.
You know, the little gangster kind of thing.
Hold that thought. You think this is good. Wait till you find out about the angels and the demons that become real in his life. We'll be right back. Many Muslims and Jewish people have difficulty with the concept that God had a son. Let's see what King David had to say in the second Psalm. Truly, it is I that have established my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. And this is what he says to do with the son. Do homage in purity, lest he be angry, and ye perish in the way, when suddenly his wrath is kindled. And then Solomon had to say in Proverbs, the 30th chapter, it's kind of a riddle. Who hath ascended up into heaven and descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fists? Who hath bound the waters in his garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? God, obviously. It doesn't say that, but what is his name? God. And then it goes on to say, and this is in the Jewish scriptures, and what is his son's name, if thou knowest? And if you don't, his name is Yeshua, Jesus, the Mashiach. Hello. Sid Roth, an investigative reporter with Aaron Evans, a former black Muslim, hadn't cried that he could remember even as a teenager. A white man says God told him to give him a watch. Aaron had been praying, God, I'd really like this particular watch. He walks up, gives it to you. You're kind of shocked that it's even a white man. And so you eventually open it up and see this is the watch. Is the what? Is that the watch you're wearing?
No, it's not. No, this was many years ago.
You see the watch, and what happens?
I just stand there for a minute, and there's an inner battle inside of me, not wanting to take this watch from this white man.
Why? I mean, if I was prejudiced against a black, and you give me an expensive watch, I'll take it from you.
Okay, I understand that, but it was just this. You know, why would I even want anything from this?
Whole indoctrination as a black Muslim.
Yeah. Why would I want to take? You know, why? What would I want this for? And so, but I found myself reaching out, and I took it. And when I got a hold of the watch, then Bishop Hoskins came to my left ear, and I just started crying and crying and crying.
Weren't you a little embarrassed in front of people?
Well, of course, you know, you're standing up and crying in front of, it wasn't that many people, maybe 30, but you're still crying in front of a bunch of people. And he whispered in my ear, he says, now that racist spirit is broken. And I feel like the watch was also a sign from God saying that time, that God is the God of time, and that God is have a Kairos time. And that was my time then to become free from something that had me bound, and that he could speak to a white man or speak to a black man, and that he had our desires, he could answer our prayers, and he could use whomsoever he will. So my encounter with the supernatural came on like fast forward, coming right into the kingdom.
Now, Aaron, you and I, this is the first time we've ever even met face to face.
That's true.
We talked on the telephone. Mm-hmm. Honestly, mm-hmm. Can you say I'm white?
Yes.
You're black.
Yes.
Can you really say you love me? Not cosmetic junk. Yeah, you know, not mean. That. Yeah. There's too much cosmetic junk
that's
going
absolutely,
on.
That's true.
Can you really say you love me?
Absolutely. One, because of the changing of the heart when you have an encounter with the Lord. But two, it's amazing how in our ministry right now, the majority of the people that are with us are all white, 80 to 85%.
So some would call you an Uncle Tom.
If they had that grid, that mentality would call me an Uncle Tom, yes.
Now, you thought, you didn't relate when you were told about angels and demons the first time. Have you seen an angel?
Absolutely.
Tell me one experience.
Okay. In fact, the last recent time I had an encounter with the Lord was my wife and I were sitting around watching a video called Angels about the baseball game. And it was about the little kid that got on the bed and prayed about, oh, I wish you would send some help. He prayed to God and asked God to send to help his baseball team because they was at the bottom of the pennant and he wanted them to get to the top. And his father just said the only way that he would come back to help if the baseball team went from the bottom to the top. So out of a childlike prayer, this child is on the bed, he prays, God, I sure wish you could do something for the angels. Well, wouldn't you know it, that God hears even those whispers and he sent some angels. Well, after the video was over, I went into my office in the house, we have an office part, and I just thought, I was sitting there and I was moving papers and I said this in childlike faith, I said, Lord, it's time for you to send some angels to help us in Orlando. Just childlike. That's all it was. It was in a very conversational way to the Lord. And that night I went to bed, was in the bedroom with my wife, felt the prodding to go get up. I got up. I went back into the office where I have a couch. I went in the couch. I went and fell asleep. And all of a sudden, I heard this noise in the room. And I thought, why is Angela in this room? She knows not to come during my quiet time.
It's your wife.
This is my wife, Angela, yeah. And all of a sudden, I opened my eyes, and there on the chair, in the chair is an angel. And I looked. This is what I said, you've come.
What this angel look like?
This angel look, he had a course. It was not a very strong glow as if it was the glow that we say all angels have to come with this blinding light. That is not true. As you study scripture, sometimes it can come as a visitation as a human being. But it was this clear, white light. Whiteness around him, and it had this stare that had like a river of God just flowing out of his presence. Such a peaceful presence of the angel of the Lord.
Now, God sent this angel to you because you asked, but does this angel say anything to you? Or?
No, he did not. He just stared, and then I went back to sleep in the presentation.
Did you have a good sleep?
I had a very good sleep, sure. Yes. I get up, I go back into the bedroom. I don't say anything to my wife because she's asleep. She gets up an hour later, she uses the restroom, and then she walks in the room. She says, Aaron, I says, yeah. Because you know how wives like to talk at night. I'm thinking, oh, this is another conversation she wants to have 3 o'clock in the morning. She says, did an angel visit you? And this wakes me up. Whoa, how did you know? She said, I heard him leave. I heard the door shut. And this is our kitchen door. She said, I heard the door close, and I thought, who would be here 3 o'clock in the morning talking to Aaron? And she said, when she said that, then she got the witness in her spirit. The Lord said, that was the angel that came and visited your husband. So it confirmed my visitation, and also she didn't see it, but the Lord spoke to her or had a witness that an angel had came and visited her husband.
Aaron, there's a big problem in this country between blacks and whites. And
absolutely.
Blacks and Jews. Mm-hmm. How's this going to be solved? It looks to me like there's an inevitable race war coming in this country. How is it going to be stopped?
If it's not done by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, it will have a race war because it says that ethnos will rise against ethnos or races will rise against races. True. And so we are. This is the whole battle. Where we're going now is always for nation to rise against nation. And then after that, for the nations to come up against in the Armageddon against the Lord. So the only intervention that will stop us from hating each other is, first of all, the love of the truth. We have to receive first the person of the truth. And then we have to receive the love of the truth. And if we receive those two, first the person of the truth and the love of the truth, we will be released from bondage for each other because we know that you don't control my destiny, nor do I control yours.
Well, what about you? Here's my question. Aaron said there was a kairos or a moment in eternity that was set for him that changed the destiny of his life, the course of his life. I believe that the same God that controlled Aaron, that saved his life, has saved your life many times and has you watching us right now. And this is your moment. This is your moment. You're not anonymous to God. You may be anonymous to me, but God knows you the way he knew Aaron. He knows everything about you, and you're no shock above all shocks. He loves you. You've never experienced that type of love before. It's, I love you no matter what you've ever done, because I see potential in you. I see greatness in you. No, I'm not talking about becoming a millionaire. I'm talking about having a peace inside that no one, no man, no person can take away from you. It's beyond religion. It's beyond tradition. It is intimacy with God. And the only way to have intimacy with God is to have your sins washed away by believing Jesus died in your place. Repenting of your sins, that means saying, I'm sorry, God, against you alone have I sinned. And then believing your sins are washed away and saying, Jesus, I make you Lord of my life. That's simple, but if you are sincere in the day you seek God with all of your heart, in that day he will be found. Now is the acceptable time. Now, you are loved. You